Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, with all that goes on in our lives, we ask your help to have peace within ourselves and patience with other people, and to have understanding and discernment with what is going on around us. Oh, and yes, about what we should actually do about what goes on around us. And we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. So true that when we have God's wisdom, our decisions and our actions are right and proper. And so, oh Lord, guide us. In the last week, I was with several different groups of Christians, and I believe everyone in those groups would have said that for them, it was the greatest importance to follow Christ Jesus. And I got to thinking to myself about how there was a difference of opinion between those different groups. One of those groups would have put an emphasis on grace. And thus, it is the Holy Spirit that leads a person to Christ. And if you feel the urging from the Holy Spirit to speak and participate in leading that person to Christ, then you must follow that urging. The other group would have said, it is our duty to advance the kingdom of God wherever and whenever we can. So, there you go. One group emphasized the Holy Spirit leads, and the other, that you are to listen and to follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. So, for one group, it's about listening and acting when you're told, and the other one, it's about taking the opportunities that you see and then take action. And both of these groups wanted to preach the good news of the gospel. And as I thought about the two points of view, I thought about how easy it is to divide people and even to divide us Christians. And I thought about how we must remain unified in Christ. If we divide up into exclusive groups, then it is easier to dominate the entire Christian family, or even the entire society, or the entire nation. It's been thousands of years that we have known this adage of divide and conquer. It has been used to conquer and destroy many groups of people, divide and conquer. So I think about that, and the next time you want to discuss something or argue something, whether they're Christian issues or anything else, you want to remember that you don't want to divide. You don't want to split yourself apart from the basic and fundamentals of that group, like us Christians. And there are plenty of things that we can have strong opinions about or even argue over. The rapture is one of them. Often tithing is another issue. And often a question of how intertwined are we to be with society? Or are we supposed to be segregated from society? Well, these are just a few questions, and they're kind of typical for issues that come up. And we can all laugh about issues that split up churches or Christians because they really do happen. It can be as simple as what color a room ought to be, or whether the choir or the musicians should be in the front or the back of the congregation. Anyway, there's plenty of issues that can divide all of us. And it is important to remember that we are a group and a family, a Christian family, and we do not want to separate or divide. Our Bible tells us that we are all one body with different parts. One might be the hands, another the feet, or another the eyes. And that's out of 1 Corinthians 12:16. So while we are different, we are all one body in Christ Jesus. And we must remember to practice that compassion for each other, and that we want to get along, and we want to cooperate. And yeah, we know very well that we are different, but we also know we are one body, all one body of Christian believers. And we want to remember that our core beliefs in Jesus the Christ are the strongest for all of us. They have to be. We must keep them the strongest. And we know Christ Jesus by knowing his characteristics so that we follow the true Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, and not a false Jesus that is promoted by, well, people who have fallen away or people who are not believers. So just remember, the devil came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that is a theme that we see today, right now. We see those dark energies of Satan all over our society, even in personal relationships. And what happens? We see that there is divisions and it leads to conflicts. And so when I talk about preparedness, please remember that preparedness includes getting along with one another and not separating yourself from either the goodness of God or the group that you are a part of, the family that we are all a part of. So, yes, think about preparedness in a physical sense, but also remember to have your heart right so that you will be getting along with your Christian family and your neighbors. That's the great commandment in Matthew 22. So just remember that is a part of preparedness. And preparedness right now, we can think about that one because this is September, National Preparedness Month. That month of September was designated back in 2004 after the 9/11 event. And it took a few years to think about what to do. And so they came up with National Preparedness Month. And we all think a little bit different about what preparedness is. We think about, well, so often it's food and water, but preparedness can be having a can of tire inflator in your car or a set of jumper cables in your car. And it might not even be for you. It might be for somebody else who needs a helping hand. And you can give them help. It's just all a matter of preparedness is good for us and it's good for other people. It does not have to be the great big concerns that we all have about what's going to happen in our society and in our world. It can be the little things that we want to take care of. Be prepared for giving a helping hand or a Band-Aid to a child or just some really simple thing. Because we have things going on all around us, yes, we do. We have price increases. Well, there's the food prices increases. There's the gas prices increasing. And there's normal, everyday goods and services. They are all increasing. Combined with that, we see that there are empty shelves, sometimes a little bit empty, and sometimes very empty shelves in the stores. So it's another thing that we can be concerned about when we think about preparedness. I know there's plenty of people who wonder, how come the goods are not arriving on time? And that is evidenced by the 50-some container ships that are off the coast of California. They are just waiting in a line, waiting to be unloaded. Apparently, they have food and lumber and computer chips and medical supplies, all sorts of things just waiting to be unloaded. But for some reason, right now, they are not getting unloaded. And for the last few decades, we have had a great system where the ships get unloaded and the containers get distributed by trucks or by trains to different parts of the country. But today, we're having trouble unloading those container ships. We don't know why, but it is a fact that there are 50-some ships full of containers waiting to be unloaded. So why are we having shortages? I can only wonder. And I know there are conspiracy-minded people who say it is all part of a conspiracy process to cause shortages and panic within society. And if there is panic, well, that leads the way to people wanting to be secure and allowing society to be restructured in a new way of life and have changes that would not be acceptable under normal circumstances. So we have different ideas. Why are the container ships not being unloaded? Well, we can think of things. They can be really good reasons, and they can be who knows what. But I know that it's always a good idea, even to see these shortages, we can see that we probably want to be prepared for something, some kind of an event that we just can guess might happen. I know that there are people who do see this as a sinister plan that will allow the elite people of the world to impose their control upon the whole world. And they will do that through the Great Reset, which also is planned. I mean, you can look at the information. It's been written about for years by the people in the World Economic Forum. And in particular, it is their executive chairman, Klaus Schwab, who has been promoting this idea through film and his books and, oh, well, publicly, he and other members, they are talking about this Great Reset. And we get to try and figure out what it means. It looks pretty clear that it means the corporations will increase their power and their control, and that the governments would have less power and control. And then we ordinary people, well, there's a quote that goes, "You will own nothing and you will be happy." That is in the World Economic Forum literature and on a movie they made. "You will own nothing and you will be happy." Well, that's kind of a surprise, isn't it? Yep. Well, anyway, there is some turmoil in the world. There is economic turmoil. There is social turmoil. And with all that is going on, we do see where conflict could arise, and that our systems, social and economic systems, could unravel. And it's only wise to recognize that this could be a plan. It could be a plan to say, we have to tear the world system down so we can make it better again. And that is what the politicians around the world have been saying. They have this theme that is build back better. Well, to build back, that means you have to tear it down first. And so we are suspicious that there is a big plan to cause chaos and destruction and then to build back better. A part of the crisis that is going on is the debt throughout every aspect of the world. It's gigantic. The debt by the governments, the debt by the corporations, and the personal debt that there is. It's all causing a certain crisis in our banking system, in our money system, all of it. And we can see that through world history, when an event like this has happened, it causes the system to fail. Our debt has never been as great as it is today, not in quantity and not by a percentage. It is just huge. So that means when a crash does occur, it's going to be very hard to recover from. And that makes me think of that phrase, "You will own nothing and be happy." Because if we have to pay back our debts, we will have to sell our assets to do that. So that brings me to the best thing that we can do in a simple way to avoid the pain of a crisis, a financial crisis, is to avoid having debt. Stay out of debt. Real simple to say and not so easy to do. Well, just keep that as a thought in your plans so that you can have that as a goal and then take steps towards it. I know that we all have lives to live and we all have problems everywhere. There are problems with us in our local neighborhood. It may be crime, it might be drugs, it might be homelessness. There is just every sort of problem affecting so many families. And we have to remember not to get too distracted by them. Yes, we deal with the problems, but we still have to buy groceries and gas, even at its increasing prices. But with all these concerns going on, we have to remember that there are dark forces that want to take what we have. That's the short and simple way of saying it. And we have to keep our attitude good and godly and prepare for having things turn out well. And that means take the steps to do it. We have to take a few steps of national of preparedness now during the National Preparedness Month, it is a good time to do something. Start your designated preparedness today so that you can get through a time of crises. And it does not have to be expensive. I know anybody can spend $2,000 and have a pretty good supply, but just think about $10 or $20, $30 per month, and then you can get some really basic supplies like rice and beans and sugar and salt and oil, and put them in a 5-gallon plastic bucket and then add a few jugs of water. I mean, that's not a lot, and it is pretty simple, but you can do it pretty inexpensively also. It's a modest start, but it is a start. And if you get a bigger supply later, you can always give away that 5-gallon plastic bucket with the rice, the and beans, and the sugar, and the salt, and the oil in it. When you get better stuff, it's a start. So get a start on your designated preparedness supplies. You have to choose it. It doesn't just happen automatically. And your supplies can always expand into whatever you think is important. It might be toothbrushes, it might be batteries for your flashlight, or it might be, well, you decide. You get your own ideas together, because you will follow your ideas. You can listen to other people who have ideas, but we follow what we understand, and that is our own ideas. So give it some thought and make a plan. We want to stay aware of all the things around us so that we don't get crushed. Oh, man, that reminds me, a friend of mine, his daughter got into a car crash, and she had to have her leg amputated. How sad it was for a 25-year-old woman to have her leg amputated. Well, it's an illustration of how every one of us must pay attention to what is going on around us, because otherwise, things can just kind of get us. And this is a spiritual battle, don't forget that, but it takes place right here in a physical world. And some of the things that are going on are kind of like invisible, but it is still a spiritual battle. Just think of two great big winds swirling around us, competing for what there is. Those big forces, those winds, are picking up dirt and rocks and cars and houses to throw at each other. See, that's kind of what it's like, because in a way, it's invisible, but it is taking place on a physical plane. So we want to not get distracted by everything that is physical around us and realize that it is a spiritual battle that we are in. A battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And we want to pick a side. We want to be on the side of good. And that means we take those proper steps. Think of the battle we have going on. It takes place in our minds as well, and we have to guard our thoughts and keep our thoughts pure and holy. It's a journey. It doesn't just start overnight. We don't just decide one day and then have the results of pure thinking and holy thoughts. No, it takes time. It might take months. It might take years. And for some, it might even take decades. But we are on that journey to have our thoughts pure and holy. That's the goal. That's what we want. And so, on any journey, we have to start someplace. So start on your path today. Clean up your mind. And don't think about the lusts that there are. Instead, think about the goodness and holiness of God. And when you look at a person, remember, you're trying to understand them with godly understanding. Yeah. Well, we want to transfer the goodness in our life to the people around us. That is spreading the presence and the joy of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great if our whole population endorsed Jesus Christ, embraced Jesus Christ? Our nation would not have so much bad behavior and awful crimes if everyone embraced Jesus Christ. Well, you look at the voter fraud and all of that. Speaking of that, there are vote harvesting situations that are going on, and if we were all wholesome people, we would not, nobody would tolerate anyone doing something dishonest like vote harvesting. No. And that reminds me of something in Georgia that has happened. I guess it's been a few weeks now. Yes. They put ballot drop boxes in convenient locations in their last election. And it was designed, those drop boxes, so that you could put one envelope in at a time. And the state of Georgia was aware of concerns over election fraud, so they set up cameras to monitor those drop boxes. And they found that people were coming up to them in the middle of the night with a backpack and putting ballot after ballot into those boxes. Yeah, obvious fraud. But our society has grown accustomed to the lies and deceptions that have become normal. And if we are going to allow lies and deceptions, it's only going to get worse and worse. Think of the phone calls you get where somebody says they're from this agency or that, or they're investigating fraud on your account, and they want your information. Well, we've become accustomed to deception and lies. It goes on everywhere, even at the highest levels of government. It's so wrong, but are we going to accept it? I mean, I think back to my grandparents or my great-grandparents, and I think that they would never, ever have permitted such a deception to occur. Or you can look back to the so-called great generation of World War II. They would not have permitted such deception. But here we are. We are letting lies and deception go on all around us. And now, I don't mean that you, the listeners today, are allowing this, but there are a lot of people who do. And we've gotten accustomed to it, and we let it go. And I think we just have to be careful what that means. About that, I think of Thomas Jefferson when he said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people, and it is wholly unsuitable for any other." So tell me, if this is true, are you prepared for what that means, that you will lose our Constitution and our Bill of Rights? I mean, that's the implication. So are you willing to stand up for righteousness and become that moral and religious people? See, we don't know what's coming, but we get a pretty good idea what is coming if we don't stand up for truth and righteousness. And so, what are we prepared for? Well, that's another reason to think about this month being National Preparedness Month, because we see the indicators. We see what could be going on in our country, in our society, if we do not embrace God's morality. Well, then we will have consequences. And I think the Thomas Jefferson quote is an indicator that it might be to dissolve the good things that we have. You know, there's examples through the Bible of what happens when there is deception. You think of Adam and Eve. You think of Achan. You think of Korah. Achan was in Joshua. Korah is in Numbers. And you think, well, I think about 2 Timothy 3:2 and Revelation 21:7, where there are some really deceitful and bad people. They're examples of consequences to our immoral behavior. In the Old Testament, we would say, oh, those were little immoralities. Well, they were still immoralities. And today, like I said, 2 Timothy 3:2 and Revelation 21:7, those are pretty big immoralities. And so, what will the consequences be? I can only guess. But I can see it's pretty plain that we had better be prepared for some serious consequences, because those are things that, well, it's just a serious situation. We are getting further and further away from God's goodness, and that means we are going to have consequences for our action and our inaction. The Bible is full of it. We can read it in the Bible. Or if you want to look at life today, you can see the result of immorality and a lack of godly action. And so, what do you think is coming to America? Well, really in a short word, it's trouble. Trouble is coming to America and to the American people. And what that trouble is, I can only guess. But I do know that there are biblical scholars who say, in all of history, there have only been two countries that were founded on the principles of serving God. One was ancient Israel, and the other was America. When ancient Israel turned away from God, ancient Israel was destroyed. It was occupied by foreigners. And we can only guess if that is in store for America, but it is a biblical pattern. And you know that biblical patterns so often repeat. So for me, I would say it is very likely that we would be occupied. What else is in store? Well, political and economic upheaval? That's the way it looks like. And what about recompense for the 60 to 70 million abortions that America has legally permitted? Well, I certainly don't like to talk about this kind of consequences, but it's obvious that if God gives us consequences, we're going to have them. When we depart from the knowledge and the will of God, yes, there will be consequences. It's a hard passage. It's a hard passage to look at this. It's a hard thing to look at reality. And I think of Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13. It's hard to look at, but I have to think of it as a warning to... You know, I'm going to read just a little bit of that. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13. And it can go through verse 23. Father, I ask that these words of yours reach whom you would have them to reach. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ezekiel 14, 13. Son of man, when a land sins against me, by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread and send famine on it. I will cut off man and beast from it, even of those three men, if those three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, and only they would be delivered for their righteousness' sakes, says the Lord God. If I cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they empty it, and it makes the land desolate, so that man may pass only through the desolate land because of the beasts, then, even if there were only those three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they would be delivered, and not their sons or their daughters. The land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword on the land, and I cut off man and beast from it, even though these three men were in it, and I would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but only these three men would be delivered. Or if I send pestilence into the land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut it off from man and beast, well, then I would deliver only these three and not sons or daughters. Let's see, verse 21. For thus says the Lord God, how much more shall it be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the pestilence or epidemic, and wild beasts. And by the way, in Hebrew, the wild beasts can mean either little teeny bugs or bacterias, or it can be mean wild beasts that are bigger than a bear. It has a wide variety of meaning. Anyway, he would cut off man and beast from the land, and yet there will be a remnant to be brought out with both sons and daughters. Surely they will come out of you, and you will see their ways and their doings, when you will be comforted concerning the disaster that I have brought upon Jerusalem, all that I have brought upon it, and they will comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have done nothing without cause, that I have done it, says the Lord God. Well, what a passage. That just kind of gets me about those four sore judgments of God. And yes, it is Old Testament, but don't we know that God does not change, neither today, yesterday, nor tomorrow? Well, so God changes not. We know that. And that gives us reason to believe that if God would do that to Jerusalem, he would certainly do that to America. That's the principle that we can pay attention to. Now, it is certainly interesting to me how people can say the Old Testament does not apply today. And yet those same people will say that. They might say that about Ezekiel chapter 14. But then they will go to Ezekiel chapter 38 and say, Ezekiel 38 applies to us today. It's prophecy. Oh, well, okay, you just figure that one out yourself. I see the whole Word of God applies to everything and all of us. And its application will apply differently, but it is still as true in those days as it is today, today and those days. So, about that Ezekiel 38, just a couple of days ago, a Christian brother said, how about what's going on in China and Russia and Iran? You know, they are doing war exercises together, and doesn't that sound like the Ezekiel 38 war? Isn't it just getting closer and closer? So, yeah, I would say that all the events that were prophesied in the Bible are indeed getting closer and closer. And that is something which we can be aware of and think about, how do we prepare for them? Difficult times appear to be coming shortly. And so what do you want to have on hand to get through those difficult times? We have always had shortages and difficult times all around us. And we can only guess what is coming to our nation. Boy, I have been in countries that have been impoverished, and I have seen such poverty. It's been difficult to see such great poverty. And I've even seen the poverty in rich countries, from Paris, France, to New York City, to California. Poverty, and a want of all sorts of things, including good health. Have you seen the people that walk around on the streets, how their bodies are broken and their minds are hurting? Their spirits are, they have to be broken. I mean, you just look at them and you can see such, it's just hard. It's difficult to see that. But that is the truth of what is going on. So we have people that are having hard times. Yes, in our country. Yes, in the world. It's happening all over the place. We don't know if these people have brought something upon themselves by their own life choices, or if they just had a bad circumstance happen to them. We don't know. But I think of what should we do about it? And that makes me think of just a couple of three things. One is that Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you, Matthew 26:11. And two, that parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:25, it shows that we must have compassion. And three, that I want to avoid what troubles are coming. And the one thing we are told of that is coming that we can do something about for sure is famine. So I would encourage everyone to have a storehouse of various supplies. And of course, that includes food and a water filter. Yeah, I know I still am sad that my little storehouse burned up when I had my home fire. Boy, that was a surprise. In hindsight, I wish I had insurance, but I didn't, so I lost a great deal of stuff. And and by the way, thank you for everyone who has made a donation to me to help me through this loss. And it's been quite notable. Something went wrong in the middle of the field that it was in, and it was probably the solar battery happening just within 10 minutes. Everything was on a great big fire. What a loss. Well, I'm glad I escaped with my life and without any real burns. So I am thankful for all the things that I have, and including, like I said, what anyone has sent me. Thank you very much, and God bless you for that. Well, being prepared. I think of Proverbs 21:20, and that talks about having food and olive oil stored up. Let's see, I think of 2 Timothy 4:2, where it says to be ready. Now, being ready can have a different context, but to me, that means be ready and prepared. And thus, the storehouse is a concept I certainly think of. Oh, I think of Abigail. That's in Joshua. That's in 1 Samuel 25. How Abigail fed David and his men. And storehouses are good. Joseph had fed the Egyptian people from the storehouses of wheat and corn that he put aside following Pharaoh's dream. So I think there is a very great reason to have storehouses of goods, of food especially. And in the Bible, there have been plenty of times of famine. And do remember that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all tell us that before the end of the age, we will have famines. Oh, of course, there's more. There's earthquakes and wars and rumors of war and pestilence. But the thing is famine is the one thing we can certainly do something about by storing food. So when you have three scriptures that say that, Matthew 25:17, Mark 13:5, Luke 21:8, they all say famine is coming. And that is something we can all do something about. So have a little storehouse. Please, please think about that. And I know that we all have different ideas about what is coming and what we can do about it. Different preachers and different teachers have greatly different ideas about what we can do. And I think it is a wise thing for each one of us to read Scripture and get an understanding of what we know that we ought to do. Is it nothing, or is it something? Well, that's why I say it's important for you to read the Scriptures and not rely on a pastor or a preacher or a radio guy. No, look these things up for yourself. It's a good idea. I think even if one day, let's say we do get raptured before any trouble occurs, or there is a natural disaster or something, and we're out of here or we die or something, I know that somebody is going to be very glad to have the food that I have stored. So I think about, store up a little bit. I think it's a real good idea. In America, we have gotten so used to our crops being certain that we will have a good crop, that we will have food. But if you look at farming over the last decades or even hundreds of years, centuries, we find that there have been famines that last, or a crop failure that last a year or two or 3 years. And in the past, everyone tried to keep at least 1 year of grain reserve so that they could eat what they stored and so that they could plant what they had on hand. And that was just the way everybody thought. Supplies were good. And so you can think about that for what you would consider. What if we had a crop failure? Or what if our nation or our world had a storehouse? Well, wouldn't that be great? But we don't. No nation has a storehouse. And our nation has zero in its strategic grain supplies. We have no grain storage in our storehouses as a nation. Now we have even just recently we sold off our petroleum stockpile, our strategic supply of petroleum. Some of it, of course, not all of it. But there's people who have no reserves. Our military has no reserves. Our civilians have no reserves. The only people that I know that have reserves put away are the super elite, the billionaires. And they often enough will have a remote house with an airfield and a security team to keep everything safe and secure. But nobody else has a supply. I guess our government, does not, except for the president and the Congress and the Senate. they have an underground bunker that has years of food and fresh water in it. And it has entertainment and libraries and all sorts of things. So they have a supply, but that's not us. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? How great is your concern? I don't know. We all get concerned when trouble is here, but right now it's a good chance to do something when there is no disaster. And I have been hearing our media, our social media, talking about disasters lately. In the last few months, they have talked about, an asteroid hitting us, or that there would be an EMP, electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear bomb, which would knock out our electricity. And they know that happens because in 1963, there was Starfish Prime operation that knocked out the electricity to Hawaii that was 700 miles away from that blast. Well, they're talking about that. They're talking about a coronal mass ejection, a CME, from the sun. And there was one in 1859 that melted the telegraph lines. So we just have all sorts of things. And they are talking about, for instance, the Yellowstone Super Caldera volcano. And how if that went out, there would be 6 inches or more of ash over several states around Yellowstone. They're just talking about all sorts of disasters, like the San Andreas earthquake fault or the Cascadia subduction zone and a tsunami with that. Now, in the last days, I've heard talk about a volcano in the Canary Islands that would cause a tidal wave to hit the entire eastern seaboard of the United States. So we have a lot of things that are potential. And we don't know that any of it will happen, but we know that the Bible tells us in the last days there are going to be disasters. And that just makes me think, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it now, today, while we can? Start with the most basic and simple supplies. I have talked about them in the past, but and by the way, I've talked about these other things in the past too. The EMP, the CME, the Yellowstone Caldera volcano, San Andreas being all wound up, and the Cascadia subduction zone, and how it would cause an earthquake and a tsunami. Earthquake. Yeah, remember, we have had a couple of 7.0 earthquakes that have had 15 seconds of shaking. This Cascadia subduction zone earthquake would have 4 to 5 minutes of shaking. That's how much bigger it is than anything we've experienced. So think about it. Don't get worried. Don't get stressed. But just think about what you would do if. And that is a simple plan. And to me, that really means food. That's the big thing. But what if these things did happen? And I do wonder why all of a sudden these different events are being broadcast. Why? Maybe there's no reason. But I just can't help but wonder. I think about those kind of things. So I remind everybody about preparedness and to act with thoughtfulness. And do not act out of fear, but act with a plan. And remember that when there is stress and strain and fears, well, there's people who want to say, you should give up your liberties so that we can protect you. And that is a great big concern. If we give up our liberties, we don't seem to ever get them back. So that's a word of caution for everybody to think rationally and to have a plan. and also do what you can so that everybody has a personal relation with Jesus Christ. And wouldn't that make the world just so much better? I know I think about the people who I hear on the radio sometime. They talk about God is good. He wants you to have a nice car and a beautiful home. Well, that's not the only message that there is, that's for sure. And today I talked about the four sword judgments of God. That's not especially a comfortable topic for me, but it's right there in the Bible, and there is reason to see and to say that it could be right around the corner, right on our doorsteps, and that is another reason to prepare for those simple things that just might be a need of yours, a desperate need, water and food and warmth. So think about those things. And also remember to have joy in life, the joy of Jesus Christ. God is good. God is joy and peace, and the Bible says that. 1 Chronicles 16:34, it includes the parts that says, His steadfast love endures forever. Romans 15:13, God is hope and will fill you with joy and peace. Romans 14:17 includes that God is about righteousness and peace and joy. John 15 is about Jesus is the vine and we are the branch. So the joy that we get comes from and through Jesus Christ. So these are Bible truths, and every one of them we can hold on to and have that joy in our hearts and in our minds and talk with people about the joy of Jesus Christ and why they want to follow Jesus Christ and live with Him for eternity in heaven. Yeah, and not that other place. So, prepare spiritually, prepare physically, and examine what you see the future just might hold, and that will help you to prepare. I will be happy to send you my free preparedness pamphlet if you just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen to any broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org, all lowercase and no spaces. May you walk with God. And may God walk with you. Let me